Alright, I need a designated reader. Is that you? Oh, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you volunteering again. You just do so good, so quick. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2.
What version do you want?
I do not care.
Just word.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever one you want. Doesn't make a bit of difference. Okay, we're going to look at Romans 12 today. We're going to work on verses 1 and 2 till I get bored with it. And then we might go, if we have time, to spiritual gifts. Normally, I would spend the entire time on spiritual gifts because I'm a strong, strong believer in spiritual gifts. I think it's a thing that the church is missing and doesn't particularly know how to do spiritual gifts. And I spent most of my ministry and studies on spiritual gifts. But there are some things in the first part of Romans 12 that I think are very, very important, and hopefully you see the importance also. Now, Paul, in writing his epistles, he always had a pattern. He always started out with greetings, and then he always had compliments, and he would have a little bit of introduction. Then he would get to the heart of the subject that he wanted to talk about. And we see this pattern very well in the book of Romans. Then in every epistle, he started to make what I think is absolutely important, the application to individuals. He began to make it meaningful to the people that he was writing the letter to. So many times we hear theology, or we hear sermons, or we hear talks and everything, but it's never applied to the personal life. And Paul wants now to take the steps to begin to apply what we've been studying for about 10 weeks to the personal life. So keep that in mind. He's now shifting in to something. Good morning.
Howdy, y'all.
How you doing?
I'm late, but I got family here and had to move 6 cars to get to them. So.
Well, man, that's not a problem. We're glad to have you. And I bet you have relatives up from San Antonio.
There too.
The reason I know that is I'm one of those things. That's me. Good. And you get a dollar. Not for being a visitor, because I like your hat.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Much.
You
I like
bet.
It too. Well, if I had as much hair as you did, I might not have to wear one.
Well, some of us are blessed. What can I say? Okay, so what we want to do today is to begin to apply what Paul's been talking about to our lives. If we don't apply it to our lives, it absolutely does us no good. Facts are interesting, but never persuades anything. So let's look at the first two verses, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay, that's good.
Paraphrasing. It said, "So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind."
Okay, thank you. That's a pretty good interpretation by Dr. Taylor. Okay, now we've all heard this. Read the first part. Are we supposed to do what with our bodies?
Living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice. How do you interpret that phrase? Our bodies are a living sacrifice. What does that mean? How do we interpret that?
Well, one way... keeping with Paul.
Yes.
He says, "I die daily."
Okay.
So that's a self-sacrifice.
Okay, that's good. We're going to come back to that. Keep that in thought in mind. I agree with it. What do we usually think of our bodies as a sacrifice?
Health.
Who?
Health.
Who said that? Health, okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, we think we're supposed to do certain things and live a certain way, and it's health principles.
All right. Is anything wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it, except it makes it, it becomes a way of us earning salvation.
Okay, all right. All right, so we die daily, we got health message, all right? Otherwise, how do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice?
Develop.
My wife's a little hard of hearing, and so you have to kind of speak up a little bit.
I said, like he said, you have to die daily. That's a sacrifice for us, because human beings, we want to do it our way, and God has His will for us.
Okay. We're going to come back to that with Him in a minute. You're on the right track, okay? Now, the reason that Paul uses the word body in this particular instance is he's primarily talking to the Greeks. And the Greeks had a philosophy that the body did not matter. The only thing that mattered was your spirit. So therefore, your body could do anything it wanted to do, or be anything it wanted to do, or be like anything, and it didn't matter one bit. It was just as long as your spirit was good, the rest of it doesn't matter. Now, we're going to see that Paul says both of them matter. But he starts out by saying, present your body, because to the Greeks, this was an absolutely new idea. Because their body meant nothing to them. Now, we're exactly right. We use this as a proof text for our health message. Nothing wrong with that. But certainly, we must find something deeper than just good health, body, sacrifice to God. Now, Paul uses go back through verse 1 again till I stop you. There's an interesting word I want you to listen to. Let's just start from the beginning. Yeah, that's why it's in there.
So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship.
Okay, that's the word I'm looking for. He says, this is the true worship. Now, how do you define worship? What's worship? What do we generally think of worship? Give me some illustrations, definition of what worship is to you.
One of which is to praise God.
Praise God, absolutely. That is probably the epitome we think of worship. Praise God. What's some other ways? What do you consider worship?
Being
reverent, absolutely. Listening to that still, small voice. What other things do you consider as worship? Paul says that we want to present our bodies as living sacrifice, and that this is a worship. So what other words? Good morning. Give him a hand just because I like him. Oh, come on. This is Lloyd Whitten here. Oh, yeah, now, yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
What happened? Is there any hope for me, maybe?
My hair looks
Hey, he
good
said he liked my hair.
I do.
Oh, he said he liked my hair. I just got my hair permed about 3 weeks ago. So. Thank you.
Wow.
You don't get a very, very good good audience like this every once in a while. All right, worship. Come on, what else do you think of? Yes, ma'am.
Music,
absolutely. Music's one of the most important parts of worship. Good or bad?
Yes.
What else?
I think worship, in the context of what Paul is saying here, and connecting it with what you just said, with the Greek philosophy, I think Paul is asking them and us to honor God in everything that we do. That's worship.
Nah.
somebody across
did,
the room.
Did you read my notes? did you? I told you to keep my notes secret.
They are.
Here's what Paul is talking about as worship. Everything we've said is absolutely correct. Praising God, probably the epitome of worship. Music, absolutely. Reverence, listening, prayer, Sabbath school, the 11 o'clock hour, family worship. All of them are absolutely correct. But that's not what Paul's talking about. You see, those are easy. What are you going to do Sabbath? Well, I think I'm going to get up and go to
church.
Worship. But Paul's not talking about that because, you see, that's easy. We understand that. That's almost a good thing, a thing we look forward to. To some people, it's an obligation. Paul's not talking about that. Because in the Greek, and I had a lousy Greek teacher, but I love him to death, is as Rob Shepherd. C minus, gave me a C minus. What that word should be is put service in there. Reread it instead of worship, put service. Because you're 100% correct.
Dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him, this is the true service that you should offer.
Yeah. Now, every once in a while I run across something that just kind of makes me think. And I got this as one that did get me thinking. Service. That word is, and the Greeks were tremendous for word pictures. Instead of worship, service. Service, the word picture would be an employee who was totally dedicated to the one he served. Not a slave. You see, a slave had no choice. He was dedicated because he had to be dedicated. But service, this type of employee, was the one who so much loved his... It's kind of like Ross worked for me at one time, Mill worked for me one time. I know y'all were just in love with me that they just could hardly wait to get to work. You don't have to answer that. But it was so they loved the boss, they loved the person, the employee, that they were dedicated. And here's what really caught my eye. How many of you get up and Monday morning when you go to work say, I've got to go to worship this morning? You see, I came from a lifestyle that everything to me was I'm just an actor on the stage of life. And so when I went to work, it was important that I had the working personification that I thought, persona that I thought I should have. I never forget, I was opening up a branch down in Houston, and this was before cell phones, and that morning Sue and I had a really kind of a nasty fight over the phone, over the kids. As most time, mothers want to go one direction, dads want to go the right direction. You know what I mean. And so there was it got a little bit nasty. So I'm pulling up to work, and I'm just mad. So I walk up to the office door, and I've literally said to myself, well, it's showtime. So I walk in, my receptionist's name was Cindy, and I said, good morning, Cindy, how are you doing this morning? Now, of all mornings, she picked this one, and she said, you know what I like about you, Mr. Pyle? And I said, no, what's that? She says, you're always happy. And I said to myself, literally to myself, should have seen me 60 seconds ago. But see, I owed it to my employees to be on top of my game. So I was mad inside, but I owed it to them. I've worked for 5 corporations, and I've been fired from 4 of them. So I've learned I don't do good with corporations, see? So I always go to work or went to work with that, I'm ready. And Paul says that I should have got up every morning and said, I'm going to go worship God at work today. Amen. And how in the world do you do that? Because, see, it's easy to come to worship at church. And we feel like, well, I've done my duty. It's easy if you have the routine of family worship. But Paul is saying, not interested in that. I'm interested in service. Not a slave-master relationship, but one that you love me so much and our relationship is so strong that when you go to play, you're going to worship. You're going to work, you're going to worship. What do you think of that? Sir?
Really opens up some new thinking in my thinking, like when I go out golfing, if I ever go out with the attitude of I'm going to worship God, then I probably won't get as angry if I miss a shot, throw my club or something, you know?
So, yes.
I think sometimes we don't realize that we really have a friend in God. And sometimes we need to have a friendship with him, where we can talk to him about anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else? What other thoughts?
You know, as I think of what you're saying, I go back to what Paul says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the honor and glory of God. That's worship.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, somebody else? Yes.
Well, I used to teach high school, and before that I was an engineer, and I know I enjoyed doing that, and then I thought I was smart enough to teach school, and if you start your day off with worship, and if you start your day off with God, it sure makes it a lot easier than going into a room full of teenagers who you don't mean spit to,
yeah,
and trying to witness there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can't, of course, talk about
no, but
religion.
You don't have to
not
witness.
Not if you
see, that's what we're going to get to in just a second. Yes, sir, Dr. Coy.
The key is, from my way of thinking, worship in church is nothing. Worship at work is nothing. Unless you make that connection, you have to make the connection first thing in the morning. I can have a power cord laying here hooked to a lamp and it does nothing until I plug it in. Right. So the key is that connection. If you have that connection, you'll have it at church, you'll have it at work, you'll have it at play, you'll have it wherever you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else like to comment?
I think we go back to that comment you said about friend. If you think of God as a friend that you're invested and connected to, then a friend you can talk to everything about. And sometimes we think of this means, oh, now I got to go and try harder at work and do that. It's not about trying harder. It's about recognizing he's a part of me and he's a part of my life and he's interested in me every moment, wherever I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But Paul is saying, being so in love with the person that you have the privilege of being with is that everything you do is worship. And you do that through work. Always looked at work as a battleground. I mean, when you get up into management incorporated, it's a battleground. You know, I remember people we were expanding, and the vice president and the sales manager for the country were in there measuring offices to see whose office was larger than the other. I mean, yeah, that's the world that's in there. And see, Paul says, don't think you can worship God on Saturday, because that's not what God's looking for. He's got a whole room full of people that claim they're worshiping Him on that day. He's looking for people to worship Him through Monday through Friday. Now, I want you to stop and think. I want you to think of a person that in your life you have said, if there's ever a person that's going to be in heaven, it's going to be this person. I'm just going to stop for about 10 seconds. I want you to think about that. If somebody, I have a gentleman by the name of J.D. Davis. Did you know J.D. Davis? Am I correct?
Which part?
About him being in heaven. Oh. Kindest person, gentlest person I've ever seen. Yeah, absolutely. See, so I want you got that person in mind? What were they like? Were they great Bible study people?
Just a very good person.
Were they talking religion all the time? No. You knew it. I've done recruiting for 30 years in the sales industry. I can generally tell, Rob Shepherd and I had lunch today, this week, and we were talking about, you can tell a winner when they walk in. You can just pick them. A lot of times you're wrong, but I mean, most of the time you can just tell within 30 seconds.
You know, he was a bus driver for a while.
Yeah, Joe bus right before, yeah. You see, that's what Paul's talking about. If you want to worship God, be the type of person, not here in church, but at work, at play, with your kids, with your family, that people just recognize something about you that's good. And you don't have to give a sermon. You don't have to sit there and say, I'm sorry, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, I don't eat ham. You don't have to say, I go to church on Saturday, you go the wrong day. All you have to do is worship God. And people will see it in you. Yes?
I want to underscore what you're saying. I heard something this morning. I was listening to a program, and I'm going to, from now on, I will think of that term, living sacrifice, in a little different context. They were describing the fact that typically when you think of a sacrifice, especially back in the old Jewish system, a sacrifice was when something was dead.
Yeah.
You know, you kill the animal and then you offer that sacrifice. But in this context, Paul is talking about something that is living. Now, we could take on Christianity kind of under the doom of the sacrifice that I've got to make to be a Christian. I had to give up, and that is a dead sacrifice compared to what he's describing here as a living sacrifice, that everything you do, you're alive, it's vibrant, it's active, it's proactive, it's energetic. That's the kind of life that Paul is describing, that you're talking about here. So the term living sacrifice to me means a whole lot more.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And see, the thing we look at a lot of times is that God wants us as a sacrifice. All God is saying is, I want the very best for you.
Right.
You're not sacrificing anything for me. I'm sales trainers, used to be. One of the things I taught salespeople were told all their life, if you want to be successful, you got to pay a price. You know, and the great ones would be up there, you just got to pay a price to be successful. I tried to teach my salespeople, it's the opposite. You don't pay any price for success. You pay a tremendous price for failure.
Amen.
You know, Christmas time. Oh, I wished I could buy my kids some presents. I have no money. See, that's the price of failure. You don't pay a price for success. God is saying the same thing to us. Wake up, people. You don't sacrifice anything to live a good life. You sacrifice everything if you don't. Not what I do as God to you, what you do to yourself. And that's all he's saying. Now, in verse 2, he talks about, well, read verse 2 to us.
Again, Good News Bible. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God,
okay,
what is good and what is pleasing.
Okay. Now remember the Greeks. Body meant nothing. Spirit was everything. Paul comes along and says, body's important, spirit's important. Now he's putting the two together. Now, how do you know Amish? I knew it was one of the three. How do you know an
Amish
person? They don't have to wear a sign. Correct? How do you know a woman who's a Pentecostal? Hair up.
Long dresses?
Hair up. How do you know a Seventh-day Adventist?
Got a veggie burger in their hand.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
Good old veggie burger.
You see, we love to work on the outside appearance. We love to do that.
May I share a scripture?
Pardon?
May I share a scripture?
Yes.
I think it. What you're saying and what Paul is saying in Exodus 31, where God is part of the instruction God is giving his people for the building of the temple. And in the middle of that discourse, he tells them to stop and honor the Sabbath. But a couple of words before that, he says, because I am God who sanctifies you. So rest on one day, because it's a sign I am the one who's sanctifying you.
Absolutely.
Sanctification takes place during the week.
Yeah. Very good.
All day.
Yep.
All week. And when you come on Sabbath, you're telling God, I appreciate what you've done for me during the week. And so Paul is asking us basically to practice that same concept of sanctification by sacrificing our bodies, honoring God, and just
absolutely ourselves. Absolutely. You see, if we're not careful, we love to look at the outside because that's nice to judge. So, therefore, we know Amish people, we know a Pentecostal, and now there was a time in our church, we've evolved a little bit, that We wanted to be known because we worked hard with the word peculiar. We are to be a peculiar people. Well, a lot of us succeeded. Had a gentleman who worked for me by the name of Ron Lightfoot. Asked me what church I went to. I said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, he said, I live next door to a Seventh-day Adventist in Colorado. Oh, really? Well, good. Yeah, he says, I remember one Friday night a big snowstorm came. And the trees in her yard were knocked down and they blocked her garage door and she couldn't get her car out. And so he said, I got up on Saturday morning and I did some work around my yard and then I took my chainsaw and I was over and started trimming the trees in the driveway so I could pull them out so she could get her car. He said she came running out and said, please don't do that. This is my Sabbath and I can't allow you to work. Will you come back tomorrow morning and do it? Now, that lady felt very good about witnessing. He thought, and I think, she's a nut. Do you see? We get caught up in the outside appearances. Because if we're not careful, we love to judge one way or the other. But Paul says, don't be transformed to the way of the world. What do you think he meant? Because at one time, we took a large part of it was the way we dressed, what we wore, what we looked like, the way we acted. We can't be like the rest of the world. So what do you think he was talking about when he said, don't be like the world?
Our thinking,
our thoughts. Jack, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Back to J.D. Davis.
Yeah.
What you saw in J.D. Davis was the same on the outside as what was on the inside.
Yes.
You didn't know that right away, but after a time of being around him,
yep,
you knew the kind of man he really was.
Yeah. And we're talking about somebody 45 years ago.
Yeah.
But do you see how a person really stands out that knows God? Stands out. So, we used to judge or look at or wait a minute. Well, what happened? What do you eat? What do you wear? How do you dress? See, we looked at that and we tried to master that. So what is he talking about? She says thinking.
Thought patterns.
What else do you think?
Well, what you think leads to what you do. What's in your mind comes out in your actions. So it's words, thoughts, and actions.
Huh?
And people tell, I don't know how many times I've been accused of being a Christian, and I never quoted scripture, I never talked religion, and I thought, well, I never said it, you know, because you get fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
In religion and church, in school, public school. I'm not talking about Berkeley. I'm talking about public school. And I'm always checking myself. I know what rules are. I'm an engineer. I follow. I follow.
You follow the rules. Yeah.
And that, of course, that was only in the days that I started off with God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's yeah. Amazing how you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You let God do it through.
Not only do you not have to, you shouldn't. You don't have to put a placard out. Not very good with English. Just want to let you know that. It's a good thing I don't make my living talking. Or walking around chairs either. See? You don't have to wear a placard that says, I'm a Christian. Because you already have one that you wear. People will know there's something different about you. And that's what Paul's talking about. Don't worry about the outside. You see, the outside never changes. If we're not careful, we want to be chameleons. If we're with this group or this way. If we're with this group or this way. Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about what's inside. Yes, ma'am.
You said you were caught by some things that you read. I was caught by this thought. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were energized.
Right.
Right.
So you have energy to do what you're doing.
Absolutely. And so Paul's saying, if you want to be transformed, it has to come from within, not from without. Now, the great question of all then is, how do you get it from within? Well, it's very simple. What are you going to say?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. That's a good word. What does that mean? It's a correct answer, but what does that mean? Yes.
In your heart to act a certain way, have certain feelings. Every aspect of life, He can enter our mind and reconform us.
That's right. As I spanked my grandchild the other day, he had all the desire in the world to do the right thing. It's what you behold. It's that simple. It's what's important to you. What you behold, yes.
Bringing a small scale, it was interesting. A while ago, we moved to Charlotte. I was tasked with calling in the Bank of America where they're headquartered. At the time, they're growing rapidly. They're bringing lots of people down from New York City. So they're there in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they bring with them that sharp, abrasive New York manner. And pretty soon they realize, well, they're not going to get that back from the people they're working with. Charlotte, North Carolina, and you can see them become transformed and realize, I don't have to treat you like crap because you're not going to do that to me.
Yeah.
And I saw them be transformed. That just happened time and time again. It was just a little fascinating human interest study to see. I mean, everyone thinks that New Yorkers jaded and abrasive as can be, but when they're faced with other people, Southern Christians, more or less, I watched the transformation.
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
Absolutely. You see, it's what you behold you become like. It's a principle. That's not a fact. That's not a statement. That's an absolute principle. Whatever you behold, you become like.
And then for that beholding to take place, we have to spend daily quality time in God's Word.
Yeah.
And when we open His Word, we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to influence our thinking. And then another thing is that when we read God's Word, we're saying to God, I am in agreement with what you have said or what you were saying or you have written in this book. So when my time is over with Him and I leave, well, I don't leave His presence, but I'm done with the reading, then those thoughts that I gained from being in His presence, then that goes with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can then use that to influence my behavior, my thinking.
Yes, ma'am. Eloise.
You really don't have to be around someone a lot to sense this. My father was killed instantly in a car accident less than a year after I was married. My husband had been around him less than you can count on one hand. But he immediately said, well, you know he's going to be in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, it's what you behold, you become changed, and you don't even know it. You can't. God does not want us to strive, work, sacrifice, stress ourselves out, make ourselves know, to know Him. That doesn't work. What He wants us to do is simply walk down a path with Him and talk with Him, read about Him. Pray with Him. And as we do this, our lives become changed. And as we go about, we don't even realize the change. I am incapable of getting up if I work Monday morning and saying, today I'm going to worship God at work. I don't need to work on that. I need to go back and work on knowing God better. get to know him.
Just a thought here.
Yes.
In this verse, we see Paul presenting two opposite ways of the Christian life. Be not conformed, but be transformed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See, where we get confused is lots of us try to walk down the middle of the fence on both sides. Well, you're either walking away from God or you're walking towards God. And as you walk towards Him and He's right there with you, then your life becomes changed. And as the Paul and I, Rob and I, do it all the time, but I don't know of any greater illustration you can use than Paul himself, who woke up one day and said, "Wow, what I used to like to do, I can't stand. What I used to hate, I now love. How did this happen?" And you see, that's service. I'm tired, so we're going to quit 5 minutes early. It's easy to get up on Sabbath and say, let's go worship God. That's expected. The true service is to get up tomorrow morning and let's say, I'm going to go worship God through time with my children. Worship God, time with my sometimes sweet wife. Worship God at my job. And then pretty soon, it's just natural. And one day God comes and says, come on home. Let's go home, spend the rest of eternity together. Salvation is that simple. Father in heaven, it's so good that you love us and care for us. We're just amazed at the patience that you have, the kindness that you show. I only know what you've done in my life, and I know that you've done that to others. Thank you. Be with us in this time of season that people will see your Son in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.